How many of you have seen The Revenant? Yeah, that's pretty good. So, as a lot of you probably saw in the build-up to that film's release, there was a lot of focus on the realism and how much work went into the special effects and making the bear really look real and really convincing people that was a real bear that was involved in the shoot. As a matter of fact, when the movie came out, PETA contacted the studio because they were concerned about the welfare of the bear. But what happened is that the day before the global release of the film, the gentleman in the blue bear suit there, who had worked on the scene with Leonardo DiCaprio a couple of years prior to that, tweeted out a picture of saying, "Hey, my movie's coming out. Look at this, behind the scenes picture, from having done the production." Needless to say, the director, the producers, the film studio, everybody flipped out because, there had been so much work going into, this big reveal of some of the best animal special effects that had ever been done. And here they just blew the cover off it by posting a picture of a dude in a blue suit. So you compare this to some of the things that we've seen very recently in the press, like the leak at Larson Studios, or going back to bigger studio breaches over the past couple of years, and content security, really starts to come to the forefront of everybody's minds. How do you protect this kind of information? It's not always just about, how do you prevent piracy in the downstream studio release? It's, what happens during the production process? Now, in this particular case, NDAs were signed. People do, they're made aware of information security policies when they join a production. But as, usually happens, people will sign the document, it goes into a folder somewhere, and then everybody forgets about it. So, even though the intent is there, the execution and the follow-through typically is lacking. So, what kind of processes do we have? What kinds of capabilities in the production platform, can enable us to not just, do lip service to it, but to actually enforce these policies and make sure that, things like the man in the blue suit don't happen again. Now, for New Regency, who, like I said, we worked with on building a proof of concept for production. They deal with information spread out across the world. Within 2015, they had productions going on in multiple countries. They had shoots going on in even more locations. So there's a lot of data being generated, and it sits in all kinds of different repositories, both online and offline, around the world. And one of the biggest challenges that that anybody here from production company will be familiar with is that during any given production cycle, the people are constantly cycling in and out. So you've got a problem of if I've got an information technology system, how am I onboarding people to that? What happens over time as people are coming in, they leave? Are there permissions that are granted, the appropriate ones? What happens when they leave the production? Does their account get deprovisioned? Is their access revoked? A lot of times that kind of thing doesn't happen. Somebody might get a user account added to a system, and then they find 18 months later that person is still in the system and they still have access. These kinds of things, are just asking for leaks and hacks to happen. At the same time that we have this problem of so many different users coming in and out, the sheer volume of data is staggering. For this one production, I think for The Revenant, that generated over 500,000 different files. So you think of the scripts and the memos and the photos from the location shoots, and this isn't even counting actual media files. So camera outputs and audio recordings and everything else. This is just everything that goes into the physical production of a movie, and this is all information that's critical to the production and it needs to be protected. So there's, on the one hand, you want to secure intellectual property, and on the other hand, you want to be able to file this stuff intelligently so that you can go back to it. We'll see a couple of examples later where, you know, this is data that you need to have accessible, you know, even after the production wraps and you're doing distribution and you're doing payouts to people and, you know, and things are being dictated by, you know, by this data that you've built out. So typically what you have under production, you know, is again, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, you've got lots of different systems that hold this data. It's in email, it's in databases, it's in document shares, it's on, you know, people's thumb drives, who knows, you know, how far and wide this stuff goes. And pretty much anybody has access to it on any given production. So what happens when you've got this amount of information spread in so many different places? It gets emailed. Email, obviously, being the most secure mechanism that you can use to communicate with each other. So a lot of the leaks that we see happening are obviously email exploits. These are things that are coming up either from a particular hack or a phishing scam, or if, you know, an entire network is breached and then, you know, suddenly all of the CEO's personal email is getting dumped to WikiLeaks. So, you know, you take a look at the problem all up, and you know, we've got multiple corporate entities that are part of a production, you know, for the Revenant as an example, then, you know, there are several actual legal corporate entities that get created for the production of that movie. And each of them is going to have their own access rights, their own information requirements, all folding into, you know, into this one system. And of course, you know, being that everybody loves security and everybody wants to cooperate with the CISO and everybody wants to do the right thing, frequently nobody ever does. One of the other problems that's highlighted here is how frequently information gets duplicated. And so now that becomes not just a security risk because you've got so many people accessing sensitive information. You know, why does a set decorator need to see the legal memo for engaging, you know, Leo DiCaprio's production company? If all of this is stored on the same server with no encryption, no access control, that's exactly the kind of thing that can happen. So really the goal is to build a system that can handle this breadth of information, yet at the same time secure it, provide the right level of access, get people into it and out of it in an appropriate way. So, you know, first up, we want to simplify the flow of information. You know, make sure the data is going where it needs, that only the right people have access to it. At the same time, you need something that is going to be easy for people to use. One of the biggest problems or the blockers to adopting secure processes is how hard it ends up being to actually execute it. The harder you make something on the end users, particularly in a creative environment, the more likely they are to do an end run around it. You know, a person will spend a couple of days figuring out how they can get around a security mechanism before they will spend that same amount of time to actually learn how to use it. So we also wanted to simplify the login experience. When you've got so many different applications, and you know, then you've got multiple usernames, multiple passwords, that just makes it harder for people it makes it harder for them to remember, makes it harder for them to use, and they're going to be less inclined to do it. And also, I mean, think about the poor IT staff. You've got one or two people that are responsible for an entire production. You know, how are they going to manage all of these systems? You know, you've got somebody that, you know, a production spins up. You've got 1,800 people that somebody has to provision all their user accounts. That management oversight, you know, that management overhead not only is costly and time-consuming, but also, you know, the more stress they're under, the more likely it is that something is going to be done wrong. You want to capture that metadata. You want to make sure that the information that starts with a set, a location shoot and a script and, you know, production notes, everything flows through the system so that you can go back and find out, you know, where things happened, why they did, what the contractual obligations are, and have all of this information associated as you go through the production lifecycle. Make it faster, make it easier, because again, you know, the simpler something is, the more likely it is to be secure, because there's less opportunities for exploit. And last, you want it to be integrated. Security needs to be part of the foundation that's providing this platform. You want things to work together. You want your data to be able to flow, in between systems using a common identity. These are all things that that end users crave, when they're plugging into a system, and it's particularly when it's something they've never seen before. One of the other big issues, and I'm sure all of you are going to be facing this sooner rather than later, is the protection of personally identifiable information. PII, it could be health. You're probably most commonly familiar with it through healthcare because it's your health records, it's your financial identity, and so forth. But that information comes to your employer as well because they've got records on you, and you want that data to be kept safe, and you don't want any schmo having access to it in the studio system. So we end up in an environment, particularly with global data protection regulation that's coming from Europe over the next year, of stiff financial penalties when breaches occur. So let's say another Sony hack happens. Now it's not just Sony's brand, it's not just the identities and all the personal information of their people, but there's very, very significant financial penalties. And for a smaller production company, those penalties are so stiff that it could bankrupt them. So the importance of being able to track information, to know where it is, to be able to secure it wherever it resides is going to be excruciatingly important. And unfortunately, it's putting a burden on an industry that really does not have a history of doing great information protection. And so this is going to be new. It's going to be overhead, but it is unfortunately it is a necessary evil. So, one of the requirements of the system is to be able to isolate data. If there's a crew and a production working in Europe, there's no reason for that information to be replicated to the U.S. Nobody in the U.S. needs to have access to healthcare records of somebody working in Europe. The global right to be forgotten has to be implemented in these systems regardless of where they operate. So for simplifying the environment, you take it from its most basic approach that somebody has a single username and password that gets them logged onto a device. That device then also gets authenticated, because now a lot of studios are going to hand production crew an iPhone or an iPad or a laptop that they use throughout that process. You can use that machine as part of their identity. So you want to ring fence your data. Then you have them log on to a known, a system that was provisioned by your IT. Now that becomes another factor of authentication that can identify them and know, where are you logging in from? Is this an approved device? Are you somebody that should actually have access to this data? You can even do it down to the IP level. Is somebody logging in from a Starbucks? In which case, you don't want them watching dailies, with somebody looking over their shoulder, or they, on a secure network location so that you can vary the level of network access and the level of content access they have based on their location, based on their identity, and even on the device. And then once they clear all of these hurdles, the health of the end device has been verified, then you let them into the network, then you let them into your portal. And then this portal provides everything that particular user needs based on what their role is, based on their identity and their group membership. So if they need access to certain applications, then the portal can grant that. If you want to be able to restrict their access to information based on location, stuff can be populated in the portal accordingly. And then the operations that people can take on that data can also be predetermined. You don't want people to be able to copy contracts out of the system. You don't want them to be able to take visual effects reels. You don't want them to take whatever out of the system. Then things are encrypted in storage, that it's protected with access controls so that even if they do manage to copy something onto a local mobile device, it's encrypted. Once you take it out of that environment, then it's no longer readable even by password. And of course, in the end, then it's safe and it's secure. So what we did is we built up a portal that that provides based on who you are, the list of applications that you're going to see. Within those applications, it will control what you have access to. And it just, it makes it easier because it's one login. They can get to the apps that they need. They can see the services that are related to the job that they need to do. And everything exists up in the cloud. So you're not having to provision multiple servers, multiple applications. It's just part of the studio's network environment. It can be managed remotely, and no matter where these individuals are, if they're in a production in Scotland or South Africa, they're able to get the same information, and then the studio has can look and see it, look and see how the production is going. You can, run reports. You can, see dailies. You can see whatever. And one of the other very common problems is how many locations that these sensitive files get stored. And the tendency of people to throw things into, into a Dropbox account or, onto a USB drive that they're carrying around or even onto their phone. By keeping it within a single secure system, that problem pretty much vanishes because now only authenticated and validated devices have access to, access to this corporate environment. So all of the information, is being ring-fenced. It's being isolated. Within, in this case, New Regency's cloud storage, people can come to the data. You don't have to distribute the data around to them. And then as a result of it all being in the same location, it becomes much easier to actually get data about the data. So the metadata that that goes along with contracts and dailies and everything just starts to flow together because let's say you're doing you're doing a commercial and you want to know what products are in there, or if you're doing a product placement within a production and you need to know in what scenes and how many frames did that product logo appear. With everything in one location, you can go back through and run those analytics and figure out who's in what scenes, what was being done, what were the products that were in there, and of course that makes the contracting and the payout process a lot easier.
Yo, that is tequila slaps. It's fun, right?
So your eyes are mean. That's enough, I think. So just a fun little clip. One of the problems that that exists with generating metadata is that you go back after the fact and you're trying to figure out who was in a particular production, because obviously if you're an actor and you have a line, then that's a different contract, and you get paid more, and you get residuals, and all these other kinds of things start happening. So with an unfinished business, there were cases where somebody came back, a couple of years after the film released, and said, "Well, I was in that. I had a line, or I was in thus and such a scene." So now you have to have lawyers going and combing back through, all the different versions of the film that get released. Looking, frame by frame, who was in this? Oh, okay, I guess you were there. You should have been in the credits, and yes, you get some residuals. Whereas if all of this were being done in the production pipeline, then that information is being captured, and then it flows through. When you piece together the final production, or the final cut, or however many versions are going to get released, you just do a report, and you see exactly who was where for how much, and there's no argument about who's getting paid for what. In The Revenant, there was an issue in that people were wearing such heavy makeup and costumes that nobody could tell who they were. So people were able to come back afterwards and say, I was in this scene, and nobody can argue with them because they can't really tell one way or the other who it was. So, Guy, I think, am I out of time? I'm out of time. So we'll just close on a couple of ideas that what this does is link the information, it secures the information, Provides a central location, and you're doing it all, all with a much easier to use interface than you'd otherwise have. There's more to this this discussion. I'm happy to answer any questions after the fact. And other than that, thank you for your attention.
Joel Sloss, thank you so much, Joel.